our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. We see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we celebrate and recognize Christian education here in our congregation. We give thanks for our school, our preschool, our Sunday school, midweek classes, all the opportunities to teach and tell the good news about Jesus. At the end of our service, we'll recognize and install the educational personnel in our congregation, and we give thanks for the privilege of being good stewards, to be able to teach young and old the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn, 545, Word of God, Come Down on Earth. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for today. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other. Our hymn of praise is the Gloria. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, come down to save us. Heavenly Father, you have given us your Word in the 66 books of the Bible. Help us to treasure these words. Help us to hallow your name as your Word is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the people of God, live holy lives according to it. Heavenly Father, grant this for Jesus' sake. Hymn 545.
Thank you.
51. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, only Son.
Almighty and merciful God, by your gift alone, your faithful people render true and laudable service. Help us steadfastly to live in this life according to your promises, and finally, attain your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings.
Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 29. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field? And the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off. Who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale, for when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord. Let us join in reading our gradual for today. I will The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia in verse. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 524. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, this 12th Sunday after Trinity and also Christian Education Rally Day, our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 29, especially these words. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you ever murmur about or against God? You know what I mean. You might not actually say the words, but you're murmuring in your head and in your heart. Something that you had planned doesn't go the way you had it planned, and it's easy to blame and murmur against God. Your health takes a turn for the worse. Who do we blame? We murmur against God. We look at the situation in our world. We see crime and evil and despicable acts, even in the name of the church. And we murmur against God. How can you let this happen, God? We murmur when things that we think should happen don't, or at least don't happen when we want. And when we murmur against God long enough, in our head, in our heart, with our mouth, what do? We go astray. We go astray. We go astray with our head and our heart and our mouth. We go astray with our body when we cut ourselves off from God, His Word, His holy house. We go it alone. And when we do, the situation always ends up worse than it was before. My friends, we are a people that can never be satisfied, and no matter how good it is, we murmur and go astray. Oh, maybe not physically, but let's be honest. How many times here in God's house have we already gone astray because we're thinking about later today or tomorrow or next week or next year or after retirement or... And we murmur because that's who we are. Poor, miserable sinners. We sin daily. We sin much. So here we are in God's house, a bunch of murmurers and stray goers. And God speaks to us in the same way that He spoke to the children of God through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 28 through 33 is a series of six woes. Now, trust me. When God speaks woe to people, that is not something you want to hear. Woe to you, God says. Judgment day is coming, and right soon. The people of God love it when God is speaking woe to others. But here in chapter 29, God speaks woe to Jerusalem. to the people of God. To the people of God who have murmured and gone astray. To the people of God who have come to the temple of God's house where God promises to be, but their hearts and their minds are far away. Oh, they still worship God, but in addition to worshiping God, they're hedging their bets with any and every kind of false idol that they can possibly imagine, just in case the one true God really isn't. And so God speaks woe to his people, calling them to repentance. And in the first verse of our text, Isaiah 29:17, he gives a picture of a great reversal. God loves to do this. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? The cedars of Lebanon were known around the world. The cedars of Lebanon grew on hills and mountains. You can't farm where there's trees. You can't farm up in the mountains. This is not farm ground. God says, everything you know will be turned on its end. The mountainous tree-lined areas will be like a fertile plain. And the fertile plain will be like the trees in the mountains. The people of God, who thought they were safe and secure because they were the people of God. I've been a child of Israel my whole life. God says, repent. Repent. And to those who are outside of the family, outside of the children of Israel, to those who are considered to be aliens and foreigners and beneath the word of God, God's word and God's call goes out to them. And they will hear and believe. How is all this going to happen? This seemingly impossible great reversal in that day. The day of the great reversal. In that day, the deaf shall hear. We heard that in our gospel reading, didn't we? From Mark 7. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book. And out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. What will they see and hear? Words of a book. Too long have the people of God gone their own way, gone astray. Too long have the people of God surrounded themselves with false teachers and false prophets who told them nothing more than peace, peace, where there is no peace. Your sin isn't really sin. God doesn't care. God isn't afraid, isn't upset. Do what you want and what you please. No longer will they listen and hear these false teachings and false prophets. Instead, the words of a book will open their eyes and their ears to the truth of God and to the truth of His Word. Verse 19, the meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. Poor and meek. Seems like we've heard those words someplace before. Matthew 5, Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. God calls his people then and now to humble themselves before the word of God. God calls us to empty ourselves of our pride and our false idols, and to be poor in spirit and meek with regard to our pride and haughtiness. Too often, as then, right now, the people of God make themselves blind with a spiritual sleep. We take God and His Word and His gifts for granted. God is patient. God is patient. He wants all people to repent and believe the good news. But there is a time when God's patience runs out. Today, God calls us to repentance. The Holy One of Israel is in our midst. 29 times in the book of Isaiah, that title for God is given. The Holy One of Israel. God is holy. And this holy God pitches his tent, makes his dwelling right here among us. That's what the temple worship was all about. God came to his people in the temple. Here is where the people of God offered their prayers, praise, and thanksgiving. Here is where God, through the blood of the deceased and sacrificed animals, was spread on the people, and their sins were forgiven. All of that pointed forward to a bigger and greater day, when the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus, the true Holy One of Israel, would make his dwelling among us. Born of a virgin, born in the flesh, born under the law, Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, comes to us. He comes to save us. To save who? To save the meek and the poor in spirit. You see, only the meek and the poor in spirit want a Savior. Only the meek and the poor in spirit have any need for Jesus. Those who are haughty, those who are rich in and of themselves, can do it, at least they think, in and of themselves. And so God calls us to be poor and meek, because in that meekness, God comes to us. And there, in another great reversal, as we are mourning over our sins, God gives us joy. True joy. That is forgiveness, life, and salvation in His name. My friends, today, God desires to open our deaf ears and our blind eyes to the words of a book. God's book, the Holy Bible. This is not only the task of parents and Sunday school teachers to teach the little children. It certainly is that, but it is not only that. The Word of God is not child's play. We teach the Word of God to children because we want them to know Christ and His Word their entire life. We do not graduate from the Word of God. We do not get confirmed away from learning the deep truths of God. And yet we have been lulled into a false sense of security and sleep. And our actions betray what we really think about the Word and passing that Word on and reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting the Word of God. We treat the Word of God as if it is a plaything. We treat the Word of God as if it's nothing more than a way to win Trivial Pursuit or that late-night trivia game at the local bar. My friends, shame on us for the way we have treated the holy things of God. Today, God calls us to repentance in the same way that he sent Isaiah to a people of God who had grown fat and lazy with regard to their worship and their study of God's word. God says, take heart. Take heart. As you pass this word onto your children, a generation will rise up, and this generation will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. This is the power of God's word. As we hear, read, learn, and inwardly digest this word, lives are transformed, sins are forgiven, people are changed into a true desire, not only to hear the word of God, not only to study the word of God, not only to pass the word of God on to the next generation, but to truly live the word of God. Remember what we are taught in Luther's Small Catechism regarding sanctifying the name of God? We pray it every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Holy, sanctified, set apart. This is what we are praying for. Well, certainly, God's name is holy, sanctified in and of itself. But we pray in this petition that it would be holy or sanctified among us also. How is God's name made holy or sanctified among us? God's name is holied, sanctified, when his word is taught in its truth and purity. And we, as the people of God, lead holy lives according to it. Grant this to us, dear Father in heaven. But the word of God is profaned when his word is not taught in its truth and purity. And when we, as the people of God, are hypocrites, when we lead lives that are not holy and God-pleasing. So what does God want? God wants for us to hear his word, to believe his word, to proclaim that word in its truth and purity, and to live it, live according to it. This is God's doing. This is God's desire. And he knows how difficult it is for murmuring, wandering, idol-worshipping people like us. So you've murmured against God and his will and his ways. So you've wandered away from the truth of God's word. So you have surrounded yourself with idols, perhaps, and perhaps especially your own children. My friends, the Holy One of Israel is in our midst. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, comes and dwells among us here and now. He comes to save us. He comes to forgive us. He comes to holy us in his holy, precious blood. The blood shed on Calvary's cross to win forgiveness for you and me and for the life of the world. He covers us with that blood in the waters of holy baptism. He gives us a new heart and a new mind. He feeds us with his word and his sacrament for the journey. He picks us up when we fall. He loves us to the very end. My friends, God calls us in every aspect of what we do here at the church to preach and teach His Word in its truth and purity. That's what it means to sanctify His name, to make it holy. So in our school, in our preschool, in our Sunday school, in our vacation Bible school, in our Bible class, in our homes, from the pulpit, God's Word is to go forth in its truth and purity. To deny that a sinner is saved by grace alone is to profane the name of God. To deny that God wants all sinners to be saved is to profane the name of God. To proclaim that there are errors in the Bible is to profane the name of God. To deny baptismal regeneration and the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper is to profane the name of God. To say that God blesses all forms of marriage and sexuality, even if they are contrary to the Bible, profanes the name of God. My friends, may God preserve us from this false doctrine that is prevalent in our world and in our churches. It is tolerated and defended and in some cases even promoted. Instead, God calls us to heed His Word and to live according to it. When someone responds to you in anger or with a cruel comment, and you follow back with words of kindness, you are hallowing God's name. When you do the job that is given you to do without whining and complaining, you are hallowing God's name. When you see someone in need and you help them without expecting to be repaid, you are hallowing God's name. When someone is hurting or mourning and you respond in sympathy and comfort, you are hallowing God's name. My friends, you have been hallowed by God. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart. God has placed His name on you in the waters of holy baptism. And He has given you the privilege of praying, "Hallowed be Thy name." So today and every day, but especially on this day, when we give thanks for and celebrate Christian education, we ask God to bless us, that His Word would always be taught in its truth and purity among us, and that He would bless us to keep holy lives. When false doctrine is taught, we ask that God would uproot it and destroy it. And when we bring shame to God's Word by living unholy lives, we pray that God would love us enough to call us and bring us to repentance, so that forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake would be our way and our life. May God grant this to us for the sake of Jesus, the Holy One of Israel in our midst. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we, the baptized, confess the baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed, page 159. Please stand as you're able. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests in our news and notes, we pray for the family of Karen Kamen, whose cousin was killed recently in a plane crash. We also pray for the family of Sylvia Yoder, a former organist here at Good Shepherd, who passed away this morning. We pray. For all the baptized, especially for the saints here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, that our ears would be opened by the Spirit to the gospel of peace and salvation, and that our lips would show forth our thanks and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church throughout the world, especially for our synod, that God would bless all congregations, pastors, and agencies to serve faithfully and without fear, and for an increase in faithful servants sent out into the harvest, that Christ's kingdom would be expanded. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all pastors, that they would be faithful and compassionate in the exercise of their duties, and that they would speak the truth in love as they catechize both young and old. Bring mercy to sick and shut in. Provide counsel and care to those in need. Pray for all under their charge and proclaim the gospel as those who recognize how much they need it themselves. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For good stewardship of God's creation, that we would seek to provide clean air, water, and land to all peoples, praying always for God's providential care of our world that he has blessed us and given us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick, the frail, the dying, that God would focus them upon Christ and his love and restore them to health according to his will. For doctors, nurses, therapists, and all who tend to our brothers and sisters in need, that God would bless them as they put the talents he has given them to good use. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who partake this day of the Holy Supper of our Lord, Jesus Christ, that they would receive the very body and blood of Christ in true repentance and sincere faith, and to their abundant blessing. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of a forgiving God who blesses us to sanctify his name would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Thank you.
oratory, What Shall I Render to the Lord? Page 159. We stand.
What shall I render? Thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Christ given for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The Lord bless you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing now the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this day when we celebrate and ask God's blessings upon Christian education here at Good Shepherd, we recognize, back of your bulletin, our Christian education staff, Sunday School Parish Education Chair, Jerrica Perrin. And you guys can stand up where you're at. You don't need to come down here for this. You can just stand up where you're at. Jerrica Perrin, Sunday School Superintendent, Jess Thiewen, Preschool and Kindergarten, Tina Schellenbach, Joe Kirk. Grades 1 and 2, Shirley Green, Kristen Wegner. Grades 3 and 4, Jerrica Perrin, Megan Lichtenfeld. Grades 5 through 7, Marilyn Meyer, Lori Kirilloff, Aaron Wagner. Grades 8 through 12, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline, Vicar Bader. Good Shepherd Lutheran School Administrator, Teacher, Joy Barefoot. School Aide, Kathy Schneider. Preschool Director, Sue Hansen. Preschool Aide, Kim Bach. School Board Chair, Nancy Stepp. Board Member, Jenny Higgins. Board Member, Pastor Kirk. Board Member, Joel Caldall. Board Member, Matt Phillips. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are to be installed as education workers here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, school and preschool, a work in which our Father in heaven has great joy. Hear the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I commend to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Deuteronomy Chapter 6. Beloved in the Lord, you are to assist me, the minister of word and sacrament, in the instruction of God's people according to his holy word. You are to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and corporate study of the word of God and the faith drawn from it as it has been delivered to us in the small catechism. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, It is especially important that you show yourselves, by word and example, to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the position entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promise of faithfulness spoken by these men and women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and His work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as servants in the educational department of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of His name and the salvation of His people. Amen. You may be seated. We sing our closing hymn, Lord, Help Us Ever to Retain. Approximately 2 o'clock, we'll unload the truck with Pastor Moline and family,
It is just a couple of houses down on the back here, one of the duplexes. I would encourage, unless you need help distance walking, park in our church parking lot and walk across the common property to get back there. 2 o'clock, Tuesday afternoon, many hands make light work. Next Sunday, in addition to our regular church services, we have Pastor Moline's installation service. That will be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, and then dinner, supper, whatever you call it, will follow. Pastor Burke, former pastor here at Good Shepherd, will be preaching for that service. So there's a couple of sign-up sheets there, helping out, setting up, tearing down. We've been doing a lot of fellowship activities lately. We could really use some extra help. So if you can do that, that would be great. ACELC conference next week in Kearney, and then midweek classes begin on Wednesday, September 5th. Check out all the details there. We have had lots of folks in need coming into the church and needing help and assistance. We are in a special need for gas and grocery carts. If you would be so moved to pick some up with the script, get them to Pastor or Vicar or the church office, one of the elders, and we'll get them distributed to the folks who truly need them. Also, we could use another usher team at the 10:30 service. At the 10:30 service. Vicar, anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. I like him more and more. All right. Bible study and goodies in the fellowship hall. And we're winding down our study on the epitome of the formula of concord. And today we're going to be talking about Unitarianism, people who deny the Trinity. And we're going to be looking at the Athanasian Creed. Have a great day and week in Jesus. We'll have our Sunday school opening right in here in a few minutes.